بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عدل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واصحابه رضي الله تعالى عنه. عدل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قصة المرأة المخزومية وخطبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ذلك. أخرج البخاري عن عروة أن امرأة سرقت في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة الفتح، ففزع قومها إلى أسامة بن زيد رضي الله تعالى عنهما يستشفعونه. قال عروة: فلما كلم أسامة فيها تلون وجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال: أتكلمني في حد من حدود الله تعالى؟ فقال أسامة: استغفر لي يا رسول الله. فلما كان العشي قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطيبا فأثنى على الله بما هو أهله، ثم قال: أما بعد، فإنما هلك الناس قبلكم أنهم كانوا إذا سرق فيهم الشريف تركوه، وإذا سرق فيهم الضعيف أقاموا عليه الحد، والذي نفس محمد بيده، لو أن فاطمة بنت محمد سرقت لقطعت يدها. ثم أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتلك المرأة فقطعت يدها، فحسنت توبتها بعد ذلك وتزوجت. قالت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها: كانت تأتي بعد ذلك فأرفع حاجتها إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقد روى البخاري في موضع آخر ومسلم من حديث عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها كذا في البداية. البخاري رحمه الله narrates from Urwa that a woman stole in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during Fatih Makkah, and her people became very worried and concerned. Her name was Fatima Makhzumiya. She was from a very prestigious clan and tribe. So fearing the loss of reputation, they went to Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu and requested him to intercede on her behalf, plead for leniency with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Urwa says, when Usama spoke with regards to her pleading for leniency with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the color of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed. And then he said, are you people speaking to me requesting leniency when it comes to the hudud of Allah ta'ala, the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Usama said, realizing his error, O Nabi of Allah, seek forgiveness for me. That night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood and he began the khutbah. He praised Allah ta'ala as was his right, and thereafter he said that, listen, the nations of the past before you, when this became the practice amongst them, that when the prominent people used to steal, they used to let them free. And when the weak ones or those of lowly social peg or order used to steal, they used to establish the had and the law of Allah Ta'ala on them. This practice destroyed the nations of the past. By the qasam of that being in whose hand lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even if my own daughter Fatima bint Muhammad had to steal, I personally would cut her hand. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that the hand of Fatima Makhzumiya must be cut. Her hand was cut. Thereafter, she made a sincere tawbah, and she even got married. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that such was her tawbah and her acceptance, that thereafter, very often, she would come to me with certain problems, which I would, and I would raise her issue with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would entertain her matters. قصة رجلين من الأنصار رضي الله تعالى عنهما في هذا الأمر. وأخرج ابن أبي شيبة وأبو سعيد النقاش عن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت: جاء رجلان من الأنصار يختصمان إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في مواريث قد درست ليس لها بينة، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنكم تختصمون إلي وإنما أقضي برأيي فيما لم ينزل علي فيه، فمن قضيت له فيه بحجته يقتطع بها شيئا من حق أخيه فلا يأخذه، فإنما أقطع له قطعة من النار يأتي يوم القيامة انتظاما في عنقه. فبكى الرجلان وقال كل واحد منهما: يا رسول الله حقي له. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أما إذا فعلتما ما فعلتما فاذهبا وتوخيا الحق واقتسما واستهما، وليحلل كل واحد منكما صاحبه كذا في الكنز. أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها narrates that two Ansaris came with a dispute to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was regarding some inheritance. The matter had transpired some time back, so there were no witnesses to the matter. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before addressing their matter, said to them, that you people bring your disputes to me. If no wahi or revelation has come down with regards to the matter, then I have to decide based on my opinion. Sometimes one of you is more conversant in presenting his problem than the other, or presenting his side of the matter. So if I decide in his favor based on the manner in which he presented his case, he may have been more conversant. Thereof, because of that, my opinion was influenced by him. However, erringly, because no wahi had come down, there is perhaps a possibility that my ruling in his favor would in fact be the wrong one. And because of my ruling, he would be able to gain ownership over the right of his brother. If this should occur, then I advise you that even though I have given a ruling, do not accept my ruling. Do not take what is not yours. Because in reality, I am cutting off for you a piece of Jahannam, which will come on the day of judgment and will be hanging around your neck. When these two people heard this, what is meant by this is that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that I am not Alimul Ghaib, I am not the knower of the unseen. If wahi, revelation, has not come down to me with regards to a matter, and one of you has the gift of the gab or has the ability to present his case very convincingly, or he may be even lying convincingly, I may become influenced by him. Do not feel that because I have ruled in your favor in this dispute and you are able to usurp the right of your brother that you have got away. Because there is another court that is coming, that is the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may have presented your case more convincingly, got away in this world, but on the day of judgment, understand that that haq and the right of the brother of yours which you took is in fact a piece of Jahannam which will be hanging around your neck. Both these Ansari started crying when they heard this, and each one said, O Nabi of Allah, my right, I give it to my brother. There is no more dispute. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if that is the decision of both of you, go now and amongst yourselves try and establish what is the truth. Decide between the two of y'all, and if you want, even draw lots. And after having made a distribution which is amenable to both of you, then each one of you in his heart forgive the other person should he have gotten what was not due to him. Hadith Khula bin Qais radiyallahu anha fi dhalik. Wa akhraj at-Tabrani al-Khula bin Qais imrati Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib radiyallahu anha qalat kana ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min tamr li rajulin min bani Sa'id dafa'atahu yaqtadhihi fa amara rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rajulan min al-ansar an yaqdiyahu fa qadahu tamran duna tamrihi fa aban yaqbalahu fa qala ataruddu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala na'am wa man haqqu bil 'adl min rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fatahalat ayna rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bidumu'ihi thumma qala sadaqa ومن حق بالعدل مني لا قدس الله أمة لا يأخذ ضعيف وحقه من شديدها ولا يتعتعه ثم قال يا خولة عديه وقضيه فإنه ليس من غريم يخرج من عند غريمه راضيا إلا صلت عليه دواب الأرض ونون البحار وليس من عبد يلوي غريمه وهو يجد إلا كتب الله عليه في كل يوم وليلة إثما رواه أحمد بنحو أن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها بإسناد جيد قوي. The wife of Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, which was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her name was Khawla bint Qais, so she was the aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was owing a person from amongst the Banu Sa'idah, which was a clan of the Ansar, one wasq of tamar. Wasq is 60 of the measure of that time. Understand in contemporary terms, 60 kilos. That person came and he requested that he be paid what is owed to him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered an Ansari that he should pay on his behalf. However, the standard of dates which this Ansari gave to that person was of a standard or a nature which he was not happy with. So he returned it and he said, I'm not happy with the payment of this debt. So this Ansari said, are you returning or rejecting the offer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he said, yes, I am doing so. And who is more worthy of justice and truth than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, his eyes brimmed over with tears. And then he said, he has spoken the truth. There is no one who should set an example of justice better than myself. Allah will never bless a nation. Allah will never bless a nation where the weak amongst them are not able to derive and acquire their haqq and their right from the strong ones amongst them. Thereafter he said, O Khawla, he addressed his aunt, go with him and pay him in a manner where he is happy, because no creditor leaves his debtor in a happy condition except that the insects of the earth and the residents of the earth and the fish of the sea make dua and maghfirat for that person who has paid his debt in the manner in which his creditor is happy. And there is no person who delays in the payment of his debt whilst he has the means to pay that debt, except that on every day and every night one board and one sin is ordained and written in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against that person. You see, my respected brothers, many, many incidents, as Imam Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in this chapter, on adl, justice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. We find that adl and justice is something which our shariat and our deen has placed very great emphasis upon. To be just and fair in one's dealings is part of akhlaq and character. In fact, ulama say that for any society to prosper, there has to be tawazun, there has to be balance. And in social and financial interaction, there is nothing that will bring about tawazun and balance like adl and justice. They say that all the branches of deen, if one word were to be used to describe every branch of deen, then it is this word adl, justice, because this is the resounding message that will be found in every branch of deen. 6,666 verses in the Quran. They say, which verse of the Quran, if it were asked, what is that one verse in the Quran which gives the message of the entire Quran? Ulama say that verse is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. That verse of the Quran which is referred to as أَدَلُ آيَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, the most just verse of the entire Quran, they say constitutes the meaning of the entire Quran. So very, very great emphasis has been placed on justice, on being fair in one's dealings and not being influenced. Constantly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us. The opposite of justice is zulm and oppression. We find that zulm is something, Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah ta'ala says, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Allah says, I made zulm haram on myself. And I made it haram upon you, so do not deal oppressively with one another. Do not deal unfairly with one another. On Hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, اتَّقُوا الظُّلْمُ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْتِي ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That fear zulm and fear oppression. Because each time you are unjust in your dealings, it is darkness, it is zulmat. And this darkness, you will be raised up in darkness on the Day of Judgment. Ulama say, the two gunas and wrongs are such, generally Allah Ta'ala's principle is that of muhlat and grace. Allah Ta'ala gives grace. Allah Ta'ala gives opportunity for a person to make tawbah. They say two gunas are such that in these two gunas, Allah Pak does not give very much grace. Very quickly the azab and punishment of Allah Ta'ala comes. They say in a society where behayai is shamelessness and the other is zulm and oppression, becomes apparent, then very, very quickly, if you look throughout history, the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very quickly befalls such a nation. We see very great emphasis, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first incident, he says that even if Fatima radiallahu ta'ala and my own daughter had to steal, I would exact the had from her. In other words, my relationship, my personal relationship with her would not influence the way in which I deal. And this is very, very important. All the time we have matters, disputes coming in front of us, situations arising. And very, very quickly we find that many of us get influenced. He is my family member, or he is of the same race, or same creed, or same language as me. And this tends to blind us as to what is the truth. And we become a sati, and we become an assistant to the one who is making zulm and oppression. If you look in the history of Islam, So much of emphasis. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one occasion she said that, something to this effect, she said, bring your majalis, bring your, it's not a hadith, it's a saying of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, bring your majalis alive with the zikr of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. With the mention of the incidents of the life of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because to talk of Umar is to talk of justice, is to talk of adl. And to talk of justice is to talk of Allah, because Allah is the most just. So we have to try in our personal dealings, in our life, to bring this quality within ourselves. Not to be influenced, whether it's my family member, whether it's my friend, or whether it's a person from the same language as myself, but to be able to discern what is the facts and be able to deal in a just manner with people. If you look in the history of Islam, there are many incidents like this. It is said in the 4th century, there was one Banu Umayyah ruler. His name was Munzir. He was the king of Spain. That time, in the context of the Islamic world, Spain was very small, small place. The ruler of Spain was a person called Munzir. His son, who was in fact his only son, who was the heir to the throne, he got in an argument with a Jew, with a Yahudi, and he killed this Jew. Thereafter, he used his family members, and with the weight of the state behind him, they approached the family of this Jewish person and said that, accept blood money, do not take qisas. So the family accepted blood money. From a Shari'i perspective, the matter was over. It was a procedure that whatever was decided in the court would be presented to the king. So when Munzir sees this matter, then he immediately commands that the next day he wants a general assembly. General assembly means everyone must gather. He insisted even the heirs and the family of this Jewish person must come to the court. When everyone had gathered, he addressed everyone and he said that I do not want to become that king or that ruler that introduces the sunnat of zulm and oppression. That the ruling family or the ruling class will carry out acts of oppression on the lower classes and then using the force of the state will get their matters addressed lightly. He says, I do not want to be the cause of this. I do not want to be the one that will introduce something like this. And then he calls his son and he addresses his son and he says that, my son, you are my beloved son and you are my heir. What I am about to do is something that I will not be able to bear also. I will not be able to bear. It is going to cause a lot of hurt to your mother. And I also will not live very long after I do what I am about to do. And saying this, he takes a sword and he cuts the head of his son off in front of the entire court. And exactly as he said, that act had such an effect upon him that his grief became such that he lost his mind. For the next 2 weeks, he didn't sleep. At night, he couldn't sleep, and eventually he passed away as a result of grief. But he did not want to become a cause or a source of zulm and oppression coming alive under his rulership. One considers that one, it is only his heir, his only son, and then to consider that it was a Jew that had been killed, and these were Muslims. It was this type of example of Islamic akhlaq and conduct that attracted people. And it is why, perhaps why 1,000 years later, we are still talking about that particular king. There were many kings in Spain. If you ask anybody who were the kings of Spain, no one will even know. But this one person's name remained alive because of this act of sacrifice that he made. Same Spain, there was one Qazi. One night he hears a knock on his door. He opens his door and he sees that it is a Christian youngster. This Christian youngster says that, I want aman, people are chasing me. I want you to protect me. So he says, you have inni innaka amin. I give you my protection. Takes him inside his house, puts him in a room, gives him some food. Little while later he hears another knock. It's middle of the night, he opens the door. Big crowd of people. What has happened? They are carrying a janaza with them. And the janaza is the janaza of his own son, the body of his own son. What has happened? They say, a Christian attacked and killed your son. And we are looking for him. Immediately he realizes that the same person whom he gave protection to is the one that had murdered his own son. He doesn't tell them anything. He says, there's nobody here, go and leave the body of my son, I'll prepare the janazah, and now you'll go and look for that person. And he sends them away. After the burial, he goes to that room and he opens the door. And he addresses the Christian youngster and he says, do you know in whose home you took protection? So the youngster says, whose home is this? So he says, this is the home, the lantern of which you extinguished. You took the light out of this home. That person that you had killed and you were running away from the hordes were, because they were chasing you, was my son. But never mind, I gave you protection. So here is some food and here is some money. Go away from here. After this, what happens to you, I cannot give you any guarantee, but I will not break my word of honor. That example, if you look in the history of Islam, there's replete with examples like this, where the khawf and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came in front of them, and they had in front of them the example of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it comes to instituting justice. One famous example is that of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi. We know the various incidents. He was that personality who, before he became Khalifa, he said just to carry his clothes, just to carry his clothes would be laden on the backs of 7 camels. And yet when he was made the Khalifa and the ruler, the reward which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises for those in positions of trust to preserve justice and adl is such, it is said that the sun, the surface temperature of the sun is 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The core of the sun is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. Every second, the sun is giving off energy equivalent to 500 million hydrogen bombs. The heat of the sun is such, if it is divided into 200 million parts, one part is coming to the earth. Janabi Rasulullah said, a day is coming when this earth will be qa'an safsafa, when the land will be absolutely straightened out. There won't be any mountains, there won't be any hills, there won't be any slope, there won't be any form of shade whatsoever. And the same sun, which now 93 million miles away, is still a source of so much of taklif, when it's extremely hot, that sun will be brought 1 mile distance away from humanity. In such extreme heat, he said, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. That Allah Ta'ala will give 7 categories of people shade underneath His arsh on a day when there won't be any other shade besides the shade of Allah's arsh. When the sun is 1 mile away, imagine the need of shade. And the first category, he didn't say an alim or a tahajjud guzar or a zakir. The first category, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, imamun adil. That ruler or that person who has a position of trust, whether he's a lawyer or he's attending to a dispute or whatever it is, and he is just in his rulings. One riwayat, it comes that one day of justice, one day of adl, is equal to 60 years of nafil ibadat. One day of justice. So nevertheless, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, the one who used to have 7 camels laden with his clothes, he gives up everything. His wife comes to him just before Eid and she says, the children don't have any clothes for Eid. He says, I don't have any means and I'm not prepared to usurp the rights of anyone else. So she says, why don't you take 1 month's advance from your salary and buy clothes? He had 13 sons. Buy clothes for your children. And I will do some menial chores, some domestic chores, and I will earn and we'll meet our needs for that 1 month. So he accepts this idea. And he goes to his khazanchi, the person who should keep his treasure, a muzahim. And he says to him that give me 1 month's advance salary. Muzahim prepares a document in it. It writes that I, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, give guarantee that I will remain for 1 month alive. And he asks him to sign it. This is his employee. And he is the Khalifa of 3 continents. And he sees this, he bursts into tears. And he comes back home and he says to his wife, I am not able to do this. I am not prepared to earn Jahannam in order to acquire clothes for Eid for my children in this world. On the day of Eid, he addresses his children in the same way. His own son was very pious. One of his sons' name was Abdul Malik. He addresses his father and he says, oh my father, do not be worried. Do not be worried because today is the day we can hold our heads high. that our father did not usurp the rights of others to feed, to fulfill our needs and fulfill our requirements. This level of sacrifice he gave, when the time came for him to leave the world, he addresses Raja bin Haywa. Raja bin Haywa was the same person who, before Umar bin Abdul Aziz, they were oppressive rulers. Sulaiman, Walid, Abdul Malik bin Marwan. Sulaiman was the last ruler before Umar bin Abdul Aziz. And when Sulaiman was in his deathbed, Raja bin Haywa told him that you did so much of zulm throughout your life. Before you leave this world, at least do this one good deed. Choose Umar bin Abdul Aziz as your successor. And on the rai and on the insistence of Raja bin Haywa, Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik chose Umar bin Abdul Aziz. So he addresses the same Raja bin Haywa and he says to him that I personally, Abdul Malik bin Marwan was his uncle. He says, I personally took part in the janazah of Abdul Malik bin Marwan, Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, Walid bin Abdul Malik. These were all his relatives. He says, I personally took part in the janazah. And I found that as I was leaving the hole of the grave, when I took one last look at them, I noticed two things. One is, when they were placed in the grave, their faces were facing Qibla. When I looked again, it was turned away from Qibla. And I noticed that their faces were black and dark. What we have to understand is that in the conventional sense, if we apply conventional values to these rulers of Banu Umayyah, these were what we would regard as pious people. Walid bin Abdul Malik, it is mentioned about him that his tahajjud salah was never made qaza. And every night in tahajjud salah, he would read 10 sibaras of the Quran, 10 juz of the Quran in tahajjud salah. He was so pure-minded that he said that if the Quran did not say that the nation of Lut alayhi salam committed that act which they committed, sodomy, he says, I would not have believed it was possible for a human being to do such things. The same person, this is his end. What was the common crime amongst all of them? One thing, that they were zalims, they were oppressive, and they were prepared to spill the blood of people, nahaq, unjustly, in order to establish their rule and usurp the wealth of the masses. So far as dindari and salah and outward dindari was concerned, it was present in their lives to a far greater extent than we can find even the walis of today. Yet just because of zulm and oppression, that this quality of adl was not found in them, that this was the end. Raja bin Haywa himself says that as the janazah of Umar bin Abdul Aziz was being carried to the Qabristan, there was a gust of wind and a piece of paper came down which landed on the body of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, and on it was written, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Bara'atun min Allah li Umar ibn Abdul Aziz min al-Nar. That this is a declaration of emancipation from Jahannam for Umar bin Abdul Aziz from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that when I placed the body, because Umar bin Abdul Aziz mentioned his concern that the faces of these others were blackened and they were turned away from Qibla, he says when everyone had gone away, just before I could leave the grave, I lifted the cloth and I looked inside and he says, كَأَنَّهُ فِلْقَةُ قَبَرٍ. He says it was as if the 14th full moon had been brought into the qabr of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. And one incident is mentioned. Normally we don't mention dreams, but this is Mustanad. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi is mentioned in his kitab. That there was one person at that time, one elderly person, whose son had become shaheed in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And since the time his son became shaheed, every Thursday night, that is the night before Jumu'ah, he would see his son in a dream. And when Umar bin Abdul Aziz janazah salah took place, that night he did not see his son. So the next week when he saw his son in the dream, he addressed his son and he asked him, that where were you last week? Why is it I did not see you in my dream? And his son told him that Allah Ta'ala commanded all the Anbiya and all the Shuhada to attend the janazah of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. I went to attend the janazah, that is why you did not see me in your dream. Such is the immense reward which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to those who were pillars of justice and adl. We find that daily occurrences, we are constantly faced with situations. And what we have to understand is that it was these aspects of akhlaq, character and conduct that were shining in the lives of sahaba ikram, in the lives of our pious predecessors, that were actually the influencing factor that drew people towards Islam. This is why sahaba didn't give long lectures. They would say, kunu mithlana, become like us. And people were attracted to Islam. Because practically, they brought the way of life of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into their lives. Like the second incident, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns those Ansaris that if you have the ability to present your case, how many arbitrations there are? How many disputes there are? Yet, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them that if you are going to wrong your brother, you may get away, even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may rule in your favor in this world. And even his ruling is not going to save you in akhirat. If you have done your brother down, how many cases there are of inheritance where females are usurped of the rights of inheritance? How many cases there are? All these are examples of zulm and oppression where justice no longer remains. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah will never bless a nation. Allah will never bless a nation when the strong ones will be able to exact their right and the weak ones will not be able to exact their right. So, when the Sahaba hear this, then immediately, Ya Rasulullah, I've forgiven. I've given my haq to him. I don't want it anymore. In other words, I don't want to take someone's haq in this dunya and then have to face the azab of the hereafter. If this attitude we develop within ourselves, where in our dealings with one another, we keep our akhirat in front. We keep akhirat in front. We bring the consciousness of the day when we have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we are encouraged again and again to increase our level of qurbani, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these six qualities which are spoken about, these incidents of the lives of sahaba ikram, are not there so that we tell the rest of society and tell the rest of the ummah about them. They are there so that we bring them in our lives. So that we take ibrat, we take lessons. How just am I in my ruling, in my dealings? How fair am I in my dealings? How much has zulm and oppression without me being aware become a part of my life? The fourth quality, ikram-e muslim, or akhlaq, character. Unfortunately, this is the least spoken quality. And yet, it is probably the most important. Because this is where, Mawlana Ehsan Sahab, Dawud Barakat, one of our elders, he says, you ask anybody, he'll tell you, so-and-so came in tabligh because of me, so-and-so came in tabligh because of me, I gave that one dawat, I gave this one dawat, I gave that one dawat. How many people were distanced from tabligh? How many people's minds were poisoned about the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of your dealings and your conduct? Allah Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells his own aunt, when you pay the debtor, when you pay the creditor, pay him in a manner that he's pleased with you. Yet nowadays our society has become such that each one is out to do the next one down. People are afraid to sell anything. Give a person even 1 or 2 days terms because what is actually his intention? One is, it's a different matter if a person is unable to pay. But we have to understand, Allah Ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي. I deal with my slave as he expects from me. If our attitude in business or in our financial interactions is such that as long as I get it on credit, I'm prepared to do the deal, then let us understand that Allah's system is such that Allah will always keep us in a position where we are owing people. Some of us, we have developed that attitude now. If it's cash, we're not interested. If it's credit, then we're interested. Never mind what it is. It can be rubbish also. As long as it's credit, I'm getting terms and I've got no intention of paying back. Or as long as I've got this psychological thing that I got time to pay, take it. And even when we got the means, we're not prepared to pay the people back. We're causing hurt and taklif to those people. In this hadith, Rasulullah is saying, every day ism, in Allah's court, it is being written down that you are gunegar every day and every night that you delay in the payment of your debts. So these aspects of the lives of Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, somebody asked Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a Sahabi, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for barakat for him, it is said that if he would touch metal, it would turn to gold. So much barakat he had in his business dealing. They asked him, what is the recipe of the barakat which Allah gave you? He said, I never dealt in credits. I never took credit. One of the things he mentioned, that Allah Ta'ala gave him barakat in his business dealing, he said, I never put myself in a situation where I was owing people money. So as far as possible, these are things we should try and avoid. Or if we get into that situation, we get into that situation with a sincere intention of paying back the people so that we don't get their curses. And more so, when we are linked to the effort of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the burden of responsibility on us increases. Because now the judgment is not going to be Abdul Aziz or Ahmed or Yusuf is like this, the Tabligh Jamaat is like this. In other words, we are becoming a deterrent of people coming closer towards the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these aspects which we speak about, muzakara is made when we go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First and foremost, our elders advise us, my respected brothers, it is there for us to bring in our lives. We have to be conscious how much is this coming in us. Don't look at others. Don't look with a bad eye at others and don't judge others. You are not answerable for them. Worry about yourself, how much is this coming in your life? In fact, our elders say that a sign that a person is falling from the grace of Allah is if he notices the weaknesses of others. We should be so preoccupied with our own weaknesses that we don't have time to notice the weakness of others. Unfortunately, every gathering, wherever it is, that one is like this and this one is like this and talks about this person, talks about that person. These are things which are destroying our amal and destroying our tabligh. As Imam Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that little while of layani, 40 din ke maqbool ibadat ke noor ko salb kar leta hai. That the accepted ibadat of 40 days, the noor of it is wiped away when we make layani, useless talks. And most time useless talks is what? Is about other people. So we should try and avoid these things. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أخرج رامه المزي في الأمثال عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما لأصحابه أتدرون ما مثل أحدكم ومثل أهله وماله وعمله فقالوا الله رسول عالم فقال إنما مثل أحدكم ومثل ماله وأهله وولده وعمله كمثل رجل له 3 إخوة فلما حضرته الوفاة دعا بعض إخوته فقال إنه قد نزل بي من الأمر ما ترى فمالي عندك ومالي لديك فقال لك عندي أن أمرضك ولا أن أملك ونقوم بشأنك فإذا مت غسلتك وكفنتك وحملتك مع الحاملين أحملك طورا وأميت عنك طورا فإذا رجعت أثنيت عليك بخير عندما يسألني عنك هذا أخو الذي هو أهله فما ترونه قالوا لا نسمع طائلا يا رسول الله ثم يقول لأخيه الآخر أترى ما قد نزل بي فما لي لديك وما لي عندك فيقول ليس لك عندي غناء إلا وأنت في الأحياء فإذا مت ذهب بك في مذهب وذهب بي في مذهب هذا أخو الذي هو ماله كيف ترونه قالوا لا نسمع طائلا يا رسول الله قال ثم يقول لأخي الآخر أترى ما قد نزل بي وما رد علي أهلي ومالي فما لي عندك وما لي لديك فيقول أنا صاحبك في لحدك وأنيسك في وحشتك وأخذ يوم الوزن في ميزانك فأثقل ميزانك هذا أخو الذي هو عمله كيف ترونه قالوا خير أخ وخير صاحب يا رسول الله قال فإن الأمر هكذا قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها فقام إلي عبد الله بن كرز فقال يا رسول الله أتأذن لي أن أقول على هذا أبياتا فقال نعم فذهب فما بات إلا ليلة حتى عاد إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فوقف بين يديه واجتمع الناس وأنشأ يقول
Find my respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this world for a very short period of time. And amongst the fitna and trials that face the person all the time are those associated with his family and those associated with his wealth. And we find if you look in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran also, on the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have shown the family of a person, and at times even wealth, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to it as something of khair and benefit. And on the other hand, we find there are those riwayat where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us with regards to our wealth, and he warned us with regards to our families. Example of this is with regards to a wife. He said, "Ad-dunya kulluha mata wa khayru mata'i dunya al-maratu saliha." This world is full of possessions and there is nothing more precious and nothing more valuable to a person than a pious wife. And yet on the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to women as a fitna. He says, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرْ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. He says, I haven't left a greater fitna than women. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. O you who believe, your wives and your children are your enemies. Allah says, your wives and your children, the word adu was used for shaitan. Inna shaitana lakum aduwwum mubeen. Shaitan is your great enemy. The same word Allah used in the Quran for one's wife and children. So what is the correlation between this? On the one hand, we find in Shariat, a person's wife, person's family, person's children is a source of khair. On the other hand, we find so many warnings in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well as the Quran also. What is very, very important, my respected brothers, is that when we recite kalima, in reality we have handed ourselves over to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, any association or any link we have in this world, first and foremost we have to keep the right of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front and then look at anything else. If we will do this, then that wife is a source of benefit to us, those children are a source of benefit to us, the wealth is a source of benefit to us. On the other hand, if we will put their demands and what they are asking from us, if we will give that preference over the right of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then my respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them as an enemy. They are not actually the enemy, we have made them the enemy. The verse of the Quran which I recited, إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. Allah ta'ala says, oh, you who believe, your wife and your children are an enemy to you. So be careful of them. Let us look when this verse was revealed. There was one sahabi in Makkah Mukarrama. The order for hijrat came. And this was that order which was directed to all the people of Iman in Makkah Mukarrama. And this was the ultimate sacrifice. They had to leave their birthplace, they had to leave their businesses, they had to leave their families, they had to leave everything. And go empty-handed. And go to Yathrib, go to Medina Munawara, where they did not know what lay in front of them. This was a very great sacrifice that was required, and a great test of Iman. This sahabi got ready to make hijrat. And then his wife came to him, and she begged him, that why don't you delay your hijrat? Carry out Allah's command. Go in the path of Allah. Carry out Allah's command. But don't do it now. Just wait a little while. And she kept at him and kept at him. And he eventually succumbed to the dictates of his wife and his children, and he delayed his hijrat by 1 or 2 years. Thereafter he made hijrat to Medina Munawara. Badr had taken place. Bukhari Sharif riwayat, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى اِطَّلَعَ عَلَى أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ إِنِّي غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala looked at the Sahaba who took part in Badr, and Allah said, from now till you die, do whatever you want, Jannat is wajib for you. Badr had taken place, Uhud had taken place, and it is consensus amongst the ulama that those Sahaba who took part in Badr, they supersede the rest of the Sahaba. Anyone coming after that can never reach the level of a Badri Sahabi. So far as his deen and his akhirat was concerned, this Sahabi had incurred a very great loss. Such a loss which he could never ever hope to recover also. He had missed the opportunity of being a Badri. He had missed Uhud. He had missed the Qurbani and sacrifice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba underwent in Madina Munawara because of giving in to the dictates of his wife and children. And on this occasion the verse of the Quran came down, إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأُولَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. That your wife and your children are an enemy. When? In this case, my respected brothers, when he allowed the requests and the demands and the dictates of his wife and children to stop him from striving in the path of Allah. We have to put Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our akhirat first. Thereafter, we see to the demands of our wives and children. Thereafter, we see to the demands of our businesses. But Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have to be first. And automatically attached with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the effort of deen. That is why Allah Ta'ala in that verse in Surah Tawbah, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Allah Ta'ala says clearly, if your wives, your children, your parents, your brothers, your business, your wealth, anything is muqaddam in your life, is given more preference in your life to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and striving in the way of Allah, then wait for Allah's azab. Because this ummah's right is first towards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this hadith which we have read, my respected brothers, is one such example where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with hikmat, with wisdom, with love, with compassion, constantly he would try to remind sahaba of this. That listen, when it comes to your akhirat, when it comes to your deen, your family sometimes will become an obstacle. Like nowadays you find so many people, the parents are gone old, they come to the Mauli sahab and say, Mauli sahab, make dua, Allah Ta'ala have mercy on my parents. Allah have rahmat on my parents. What it means? Allah Ta'ala take them away very quickly because they're a musibat for us. That same parent who broke so many commands of Allah to keep you in the lap of luxury. That same parent who signed those bonds, who got involved in interest, who got involved in all sorts of wrong, lies and cheating so that he could see to your tomorrow. Today you go to the Mauli sahab and say, Allah must have mercy on him. In other words, take him away quickly. So we find that parent because of the dictates of his children, he sacrificed his akhirat. And yet this world is such a place of deception that even in this world also, you will get no repayment for it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he tried to make the Sahaba understand this by way of a beautiful example. He addressed him and he said to his Sahaba one day, that, oh my Sahaba, do you know what is the relation of these three entities in a person's life? His wealth, his family, and his amal. What is the relationship between these three? So they said, Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. So he said the example of a person in relation to his wealth and his family and his amal is like a person who had three brothers. When the time of death came close, he called his brothers. And he addressed them and said to them, that each one of you can see quite clearly what has befallen me. Now, with relation to what lies ahead of me, the qabr and akhirat, please tell me how you three people are going to assist me. He addresses his three brothers in this fashion. So one of them says, that I will nurse you tirelessly, and I will tend to your affairs. And when you pass away, I will bathe you, I will clothe you in the kafan, and I will carry you with the rest of the people. And I will carry you with kindness, and I will clear the road toward the graveyard for you. And when I come back, if anybody asks me about you, I will praise you excessively. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is his brother. This brother represents the family of this person. So then he asked Sahaba that in relation to what lies ahead of this person, they left him in the graveyard and came away. So of what good were they to him? Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, they were not of much benefit to him. Then he says, this person addressed the next brother. And he says to him, you can see what has happened to me and what lies in front of me. So what assistance can you be to me? So this brother replied and said, as long as you are alive, I can be of help to you. But once you die, I will go in one direction and you will go in another direction. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this is the wealth of this person. Like in one hadith it comes, that a person says, Mali, Mali, my wealth, my wealth, my wealth. And that same wealth, he sends investments overseas. He starts planning for long, long in the future. And all sorts of worries he has with regards to his wealth. And whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is his wealth? His wealth is the clothing that he wore. His wealth is the food that he ate. What he utilized, that was his wealth. The rest of it is not his wealth. The rest of it is the wealth of his inheritors. So Sahaba replied that, O Nabi of Allah, this brother also was not of much help. Then he says that he told the third brother, that you can see what has happened to me, and you can see how my family have responded, and you can see how my wealth has responded. Now how are you going to help me? So this brother replies that I will be your companion in the grave. And in that place of loneliness, I will comfort you. And when your scale of deeds, when your deeds are being weighed, I will sit on the side of your good deeds to make it heavier. This brother represents the amal and the actions of this person. His akhirat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, that what is your opinion about this brother? They said, a very good brother and a good companion, O Nabi of Allah. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is the affair, this is the reality. This is the reality that faces every person. On a daily basis we are tested. Will we allow that family to become an obstacle to our service of Allah's deen and the obedience to the commands of Allah Ta'ala? If we allow them, we are destroying their akhirat and our akhirat also. And if we don't allow them, if we put Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front, then inshallah our akhirat will be made and their akhirat also will be made. Aisha radiallahu anha says, one sahabi Abdullah bin Kurs stood up. And he said, O Nabi of Allah, give me permission to recite a poem explaining what you have just told us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, go ahead. So he said, give me one night's grace so that I can formulate this poem. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him one night's grace. I'll read the poem now and translate it. It won't take very much more time. Because as it is, my respected brothers, we have said this very, very often in our bayans, that this crippled English language will never ever really explain to us the wealth of meaning and emotion that is contained in what the Sahabi expressed in Arabic. As far as possible, we will try, inshallah. Allah give us the understanding. So the next day he came, the people were gathered and he began saying, فَإِنِّي وَأَهْلِي وَالَّذِي قَدَّمَتْ يَدَيْ تَدَاعٍ إِلَيْهِ صَحْبَهُ ثُمَّ قَائِلِي لِإِخْوَتِهِ إِذْ هُمْ ثَلَاثَةُ إِخْوَةٍ عَيْنُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ بِيَ الْيَوْمَ نَازِلِي فِرَاقٌ طَوِيلٌ غَيْرُ مُتَّفَقٍ بِهِ فَمَاذَا لَدَيْكُمْ فِي الَّذِي هُوَ غَائِلِي
فقال امرؤ منهم أنا الصاحب الذي أطيعك فيما شئت قبل التزايل فأما إذا جد الفراق فإنني لما بيننا من خلة غير واصلي فخذ ما أردت الآن مني فإنني سيسلك بي في مهيل من مهايلي فإن تبقني لا تبقي فاستنفذنني وعجل صلاحا قبل حتف معاجلي.
This person says, this Sahabi says that myself and my family and what I have sent ahead, their relationship with me is like a person who at the time of his death, he called his three brothers and he says that a great calamity has befallen me, please help me. There is a long period of separation, the outcome of which is uncertain and what lies ahead of me is devastating. So this person said, so one of the three brothers said, I am that brother of yours who will obey you in everything until you leave me. But once the separation becomes imminent between us, then no more kinship, no more relationship will remain between you and me. So take from me whatever you want now, whatever help you want, anything you want, use me as much as you want now. For after this, a precarious road lies ahead of us. Even if you want to keep me with you, you won't be able to. So hastily spend me as much as you want before that sudden death which will befall you. This person, this obviously refers to the wealth of this person. وَقَالَ أَمْرُهُمْ مِّنْهُمْ قَدْ كُنْتُ جِدًّا وَحِبُّهُ وَأُوْثِرُهُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ فِي التَّفَاضُلِ غَنَائِي أَنِّي جَاهِدٌ لَكَ نَاصِحٌ إِذَا جَدَّ جِدُّ الْكَرْبِ غَيْرُ مُقَاتِلِي ولكنني باك عليك ومعول ومثن بخير عند من هو سائلي ومتبع الماشين امشي مشيعا اعين برفق عقبه كل حاملي الى بيت مثواك الذي انت مدخل ارجع مقرونا بما هو شاغلي كان لم يكن بيني وبينك خله ولا حسن ود مره في التبادل فذلك اهل المرء ذلك ذاك غناؤهم وليس وان كانوا حراسا بطائلي. The next brother spoke, and this brother Abdullah bin Kurz radiallahu anhu says, this person loved this brother more than everybody else, more than his other brothers. And he would give this brother preference over the other brothers. So this brother replies, that I will strive for you, I wish well for you. However, that death which lies in front of you, unfortunately I cannot fight or withhold your death. But never mind, that death will be successful in taking you away from me. But I will cry and wail for you. And if anybody asks me about you, I will praise you excessively. And with those who are carrying you to the graveyard, I will walk with them. And all those who are carrying you, I will assist them also towards your destination, which you are going to enter. And once we put you in that hole, once we put you in that grave, then my brother, I have got other occupations. I have got other things that require my attention. I will have to leave you there and go back to my worldly affairs. And with the gradual passage of time, eventually I will forget you to such an extent that as if no relationship ever existed between you and me. This was the family of that person and this was the help that they could give him. As much as they would have liked to have done more than that, this was all they could do. وَقَالَ امْرُؤٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَنَا الْأَخُ لَا تَرَى أَخًا لَكَ مِثْلِي عِنْدَ كَرْبِ الزَّلَازِلِ لدى القبر تلقاني هنالك قائدا أجادل عنك القول رجع التجادلي وأقض يوم الوزن في الكفة التي تكون عليها جاهدا في التثاقل فلا تنسني وأعلم مكانني فإنني عليك شفيق ناصح غير قادلي فذلك ما قدمت من كل صالح تلاقيه إن أحسنت يوم التواصل. The third brother said, you will never find a brother like me. In your time of difficulty and trepidation, in your time of difficulty and trepidation and trials, you will not find a brother like me. When you go to that grave, before you, you will find me waiting in that grave. And I will respond to every interrogation that is put to you. And I will sit in your scale of deeds. And I will exert myself to try and make it as heavy as possible. So please, don't ever forget me. And know the position that I enjoy. Know the assistance that I can be to you. Because I am a well-wisher for you. And I will never abandon you. And I will never leave you. This is that which he sent ahead of his good deeds on the day of the meeting of the souls and on the day when he is in need of it. This is that brother that will assist him. فَبَكَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَكَى الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ وَكَانَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ كُرْزٍ لَا يَمُرُّ بِطَائِفَةٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِلَّا دَعُوا وَاسْتَنْشَدُوهُ فَإِذَا أَنْشَدَهُمْ بَكَوْا كَذَا فِي الْكَنْزِ. On these heart-rending words and this example, Abdullah bin Kurz presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba say, the tears were pouring down the cheeks of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all the sahaba that were present, they also cried.
excessively. And Abdullah bin Kurz, thereafter, whenever he would pass by a group of Muslims, they would call him and they would tell him to once again recite these words so that they can be reminded of the importance of Amal and the importance of Akhirat and not giving into the temptations of those around us with regards to our Akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala give each and every one of us tawfiq. Respected brothers, Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity, one more day of this blessed and beloved month of Ramadan. Let us try and exert ourselves, especially very, very important is to be concerned that whatever little we did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted. And the sign of acceptance, my respected brothers, is that some sort of change comes in our lives. Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala says that person who fasted in the month of Ramadan and وَيُحَدِّثُ نَفْسَهُ and he tells himself that when Ramadan finishes, whatever good has come in my life, I am going to let this permeate. I made tawbah from the wrongs, I won't go back to those wrongs. He says, دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ مَسْأَلَةٍ وَلَا حِسَابٍ. This person will enter into Jannah without any questioning. On the other hand, a person who fasts in the month of Ramadan, that inside Allah is the know of the secrets. Allah knows what's in our heart. He tells himself that never mind, I stayed away from the shaitan box, it was Ramadan. The women took out the scarves, covered themselves because it was Ramadan. The music that used to play in the motor cars was switched off because it was Ramadan. And the list can go on. But he's made the determination that once the Hilal of Eid is sighted, then all the wrongs that he was doing before, he will go back to them and he will carry on as he was carrying on before. Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala says, فَصِيَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ مَرْدُودٌ. This is a sign that the Ramadan of this person has not been accepted. May Allah ta'ala save us from this aspect. That's why it's very, very important this last night that is in front of us, this last day. Let us make dua to Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala accepts whatever little we did. And let us make a firm intention, inshallah, that the beauty and the blessings of Ramadan, we will try and make it permeate for the rest of the year. And a simple way, my respected brothers, is let us start the ta'aleem in our homes. Let us link ourselves to the effort of the masjid, to the environment of the masjid, to the environment of the effort of deen. Try and come to the Shab Guzari regularly, 3 days every month in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Make dua that Allah bless us, and Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to take part in the effort of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.